Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to segment two of God Invention Radio. Just like to take a moment and thank our sponsors, of course, Inventor's Digest. If you're not already a subscriber to the magazine, go to the front of God Invention or any of the pages, and you'll see the Inventor's Digest banner at the bottom. Click on the banner and sign up for the magazine, and you'll receive 33% off the cover price. United Inventors Association. You could go to UIAUSA.org, QuickPatents.com, and China to West. Thank you for your support. Okay, we have Marty Stevens Huebner from Rebags, R-E-B-A-G-Z.com, and she's on the line with us tonight and sharing her story of how she became a success from just that idea of some designs on a piece of paper of handbags and so forth, and taking a trip to the Philippines and finding some people that were had some kind of material. Is that what it was, Marty? They had this material, or it was from something they had in the material?
No, it was, as I said, it was when I was at a trade show and I turned a corner and I saw this one booth with this organization that was working with recycled juice packs.
Okay.
And they made this beautiful, vibrant weave. And then also it was me going to those market areas and looking for the rice sacks, and it turned out to be absolutely beautiful.
Excellent. So now you found this lady at the booth, and I assume when you were there, you probably went to her place and you worked out some kind of deal with her to make it and figure out the pricing and so forth, or she made prototypes for you?
Well, yes. It was actually in that case with the juicy handwoven with the weave, because the two different lines actually developed differently. That organization was already set up, and they were all weaving, and they had their recycling system set up. So the idea was for me, basically I needed to sketch out shapes and work with them to put the handle where it needed to be and the right shape and making it look very attractive and very sellable. With the Sack Graphics line, that was really starting from scratch. We went and found some, it's almost like a cottage industry sewers, women who sew in their homes, and getting groups of them together and basically finding someone who really knew how to make the different patterns for the samples so that we could construct the bag. Just before, as we were going into the break, I was mentioning there's a lot of trial and error. Never assume that your first sample will be perfect, because it won't be. It won't be. And just be ready for that. Because even if they make it exactly the way that you want them to, it's usually there's something about it that doesn't work, because you have this idea, but until you actually have it in 3D and have to figure out, especially with a handbag, how it works, how it sits under the arm, how it rests on top of the shoulder, until you see how it'll actually work in real life, you don't know what really needs to be there. And so it usually takes anywhere from 2 to 5 or 7 even revisions before the sample is really satisfactory.
Okay. Did you stick around in the Philippines, or did you go home and working with them overseas like that communication?
I made 2 trips over there before we launched. And then I've been there a total of 5 times. And I would in the beginning stay for a couple of weeks, because it's just so much better to actually be there in the flesh. For them to see you, for you to guide them, and to also not have to ship everything back and forth, because that takes up so much extra time.
Right. Have you worked with any factories throughout your experience here of factories that you haven't gone to visit?
You mean over the Philippines? Well, the great thing is I now have a broker over there, and I trained her, and she knows what I will accept and what I won't accept. I mean, for example, walking into one place where this one woman had about 6 sewers who worked for her, there was sunlight, the windows were open, there were cross breezes, because it gets very hot over there. Mm-hmm. There were fans, little fans over each station, and also lights over each station. And there was plenty of running water, the bathroom facilities were fine, et cetera.
So you had a couple factories. You have a couple factories going right now then.
Well, right, but I was going to say, then with my broker, we went to visit someone else.
Oh, okay.
Someone else's factory, and we walked in. It was like a dank, dark cellar. The heat was so oppressive. The people were so miserable. There was very little light. There were no fans, and the bathroom, I've traveled a lot. It doesn't have to be perfect, trust me. Mm-hmm. But this thing was disgusting. And also the only potable water, the only drinkable water, in theory anyway, was out of the sink, and it came out yellow. It was disgusting.
Whoops.
And so I refused to work with them. It was horrible because, you know, literally, these people in some cases are forced to work in those horrible situations in the cellars or basements of these mansions where the owners live. And those, you know, the mansions are air conditioned and pleasant, and I don't understand how they can treat people that way. I really don't.
Well, the good thing about this is that you're giving us a lesson here that it is good to find out where it is that you're potentially going to manufacture a product.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there's the big, I mean, granted, there's the humanitarian factor, absolutely, taking care of people, which is very important to me. But even if you can't find a soft spot in your heart for the people who actually make your product, that it's being stupid to treat them poorly, because people who are paid better tend to be better skilled. They care more about what they do. They make a better product, and they're more efficient. I mean, when people are treated better, happy workers make better product. That's
absolutely
all I can say. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, Marty, when you sketched out some of these ideas that you had, did you have a vision for a line or just to make one product? And at that point, were you planning on selling it? Because you had the experience and the clientele from the jewelry and so forth. But were you planning on licensing it or manufacturing it at that point?
Well, I was not really in a position to license because, you know, in order to, especially in fashion, in order to license, you already have to have a name. Diane von Furstenberg can license her name. Mm-hmm. You know, Stella McCartney, well, I don't think Stella McCartney licenses their name necessarily, but she may. But she can do that. You really have to have a name before you can really do any kind of licensing.
Okay.
And like Tokidoki, they license, but everybody knows their artwork. So, yes, I was absolutely going to be the one who manufactured the products, yes.
Okay, so you envision this line of bags and accessories and so forth out of this material?
Yes,
and
yes.
The weave?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And so we were going to go out there with these, at that time, two lines. We've since developed the Statement Maker line, which is an extraordinary line made using recycled paper, and it's beautiful, and I can control the designs on that, which is very useful to me.
I feel like, you know, you mentioned, as a guy, I want to get excited about your handbags here. I'm looking at them. They're so nice.
For my wife,
my daughter.
Holidays coming up, Brian. Holidays, lots of holidays. And also, I will say to you, the other men out there, and hopefully plenty of women listening, too, that if you sign up to get our newsletter on the website, you do get a 20% discount code when you sign up. Just had to say that.
Sounds good.
But so sweet. But, yeah, the idea is, you know, in fashion, when you go in, you just don't have one single bag, generally speaking. You really do have a line of things to choose from, not only in terms of different colors and shapes and things like that, but also you want different sized bags. You want you're getting a lesson about bags. I'm just telling you that, Brian, right now, so you'll know what your wife is looking for.
Thank you. There's the big
totes that we carry. There's the kind of the smaller shoulder bag sort of bag that we carry. And then also we all, like the fun little bags, too, the little bags that can go inside a bag or become a clutch, that sort of thing.
Very nice.
So you want a nice variety.
Very nice. So I have two questions. It's actually something that you and I spoke offline about, Marty,
mm-hmm.
is about intellectual property. I'm going to kind of sum it up and just basically ask you. So you had these ideas and you made these prototypes. You're in a foreign country making them, giving them your designs. What is it about designs for protection?
Well, I mean, that's in fashion where you get tricky. You just have to assume you're going to get knocked off, and it's very difficult to protect, you know, your different designed colors and patterns. You can do it, but it's extremely expensive to do so, and it's very just even to create the kind of legal wall around it. But then also defending it is so difficult. I have a very dear friend who, now she's not a handbag. She actually makes this amazing purse hook. And her design is extremely unique, and it's very mechanical. And so she did patent it. It's very expensive to patent things, as I'm sure other interviewees on your show have expressed.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thing is, once you have a patent, you're not done. You have to defend that patent, and it gets so expensive. And she's having to really go up against some really big companies who are completely knocking her off. And like I say, she has a mechanism within her purse hook that is very unique, and that's why she got the patent. But she's also going to have to spend a lot of money defending it, and so it's very difficult. And in fashion, especially when you're dealing with designs and things like that,
mm-hmm.
that change seasonally, literally, change with the season, you know, you'd have to do that with every, you know, like four times a year, and it just gets kind of ridiculous.
Gotcha. So it's like it's yours is a design. It's not a utility where the functionality of it is already established in the market. So you're not putting any new function out there. You're making a design of a product line. So that weaving and so forth, is that somebody's patent? I'm just asking, is that somebody's patent where, you know, they decided to weave and make bags out of that? Is that somebody's intellectual property at this point?
No, because the kinds of weaves that are used not only in our bags but kind of in general in any kind of weaving process, I mean, it's very rare to come up with a completely new kind of weave that's never been done before. Because, I mean, literally in so many countries, I saw this in Mexico, I've seen the Philippines, I've seen it in Africa, you know, they grow up weaving. It's just everybody does it, and they have for centuries. And so there's nothing unique or unusual about it. But it is awfully pretty.
Well, that makes sense. So you had these samples that were made, and you had them basically in front of you. What did you do next? Did you start to go to the stores, get people's opinions?
How we launched was at a trade show.
Okay.
We were pretty trade show heavy for the first couple of years. When you're first launching, it's a really great way to sort of stake your claim, you know, let people really see you, get in front of a whole lot of buyers all at the same time when you're brand new.
Okay. Excellent. Well, we're going to get into that because we always talk about trade shows here, and it's a great launching pad for getting your product out there. So we'll be back with Marty Stevens-Huebner from Rebags, her website, rebagz.com. And we'll be back with segment three on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Save your cash while increasing your sales. Every business knows cash is king. Quit paying out your cash while maintaining all the services you need. At the same time, increase sales with new customers. Sound too good to be true? It's not. WS Radio has done it using traditional business practices. We will even give you $250 in services just to give it a try. Log on to wsradio.com/barter. That's wsradio.com/barter.
If you're a business owner like me, whether you own a small shop or a large corporation, when it comes to building a new facility, you know it, the process can be overwhelming. And if you're concerned about getting the building you need on a limited budget, you call Anthem Steel for a pre-engineered steel building. Look around and you'll see that more and more businesses, churches, and schools are using steel buildings to save time and money. For as little as $20,000, you can buy a 40 by 60 foot building from Anthem Steel. Anthem Steel has a high quality solution for almost any size building you need, churches, schools, or gymnasiums. So call us right now for a free quote. 800-603-9978. That's 800-603-9978. Even for manufacturing, warehousing, or retail buildings, you know it. You can call Anthem Steel right now for a free quote. 800-603-9978. That's 800-603-9978.
When did men lose their way? Was it Hollywood portraying us as wimps? Is it the daytime serials where we're on our hands and knees begging for affection from women? Is it all the talk shows telling us women want a sensitive guy or a macho man? Well, guy, how does it feel to spend $200 on a couple of dates and never hear from the girl again? Doc Loves the System can change all that. 35-plus years of Doc Loves life has been devoted to a simple question posed to over 10,000 women. Why do you choose to stay with one guy versus another? Doc Loves the System is a realistic approach to dating written just for men. Visit DocLove.com today. That's DocLove.com today for more about the system. It's time to reclaim your manhood. DocLove.com. The system will change your life.
There's nothing small about the challenges of running a small business. That's why CBeyond offers big solutions to help you grow. In fact, more than 50,000 small businesses nationwide count on CBeyond's award-winning communications and IT services, like our local and long-distance, high-speed broadband, mobile, web hosting, data backup and security, plus more than 30 productivity-enhancing applications. To learn more, log on to CBeyond.net. That's the letter C, Beyond.net. Big solutions for growing your small business.